Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 53. Many of you may be familiar with this chapter that begins, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" This is definitely, and we know this from New Testament, from the New Testament commentary, that this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole construction of this prophecy that's covered in the whole book of Isaiah 53 actually begins back in Isaiah 52, the last three verses of that chapter. As you know, the Bible was not originally written in chapters and verses. I'm glad we have it in that form. But what you have here is a prophecy of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I'm going to focus on one verse in Isaiah 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And the title of the message is "The Way That Only God Could Make." The way that only God could make. And of course, we're going to be talking about the way of salvation. God's way of salvation. And verse 6 of Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now that's man's devised ways of salvation, which are all ways of death. They're wrong. But here's God's way summed up in this last sentence of Isaiah 53 verse 6. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord God, Jehovah, the God of grace, the God of salvation, hath laid on him. Who's the him there? That's Christ. God the Son incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. God in human flesh without sin. Jehovah, the Lord, hath made him, hath laid on him, and in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, hath made him, but here it said, laid on him the iniquity. And that word, that is one of the common words that describes sin. There's many words, and I'll go by, on the, by that, talk about that in a minute. Laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that's God's way of salvation. And we're going to talk about that. Now, as we know, as I said, this chapter is a definite, we know from the New Testament commentary, there's so many quotations in the New Testament from these words here in Isaiah 53 that apply directly to Christ. And one of the most prominent ones that I think of is in Acts chapter 8, where we read the story of Philip the evangelist being led by the Spirit out to the backside of the desert to preach the gospel to an Ethiopian treasurer known as the Ethiopian eunuch, who had been to Jerusalem to worship and went away empty, but he had gotten a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, and we don't know what all he had, but he had the scrolls of the Bible, which tells you back then he was a rich man, because you just couldn't, you know, those scrolls, you just couldn't go up and pick one up. You know, they weren't giving them out in motel rooms or anything like that. And he was reading from this chapter. He was reading the portion that comes right after verse 6. It says, where it talks about Christ being oppressed and afflicted, opened not his mouth. And I'm sure he was reading the whole book of Isaiah and the whole chapter here. But Philip went to him and heard him reading that part. And it said, Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian said, "Well, how can I understand it except some man show me?" Somebody who knows what this is talking about. And Philip began at that exact same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what Acts chapter 8 says. He preached Christ. He preached. Now the name Jesus means salvation. That's what his name shall be, Matthew 1:21. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that's what Philip was talking about. And he preached unto that Ethiopian, and the Lord saved that man, and then Philip baptized him. So that's one of the many examples of quotations from this chapter. But here in verse 6, and let's focus in on this, the way that only God could make. And there are basically two ideas set forth here that show us that man's way, man cannot save himself. Man cannot find his own way unto God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Bible speaks much about that, the ways of man. If you think about it, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam fell. His way of hiding his nakedness, his shame, was to sew fig leaf aprons together to hide themselves. But that's not good enough. That's just a cover over. See? You can't just cover over sin. You just can't hide it from people. That's hypocrisy. God looks on the heart. And Adam's way, which is man's way, was a wrong way. It represents the way of man's efforts. Man tries to save himself, and I'm talking about mankind, tries to save himself by his works. He thinks he can earn his way into God's favor. And then you see the example of Cain and Abel. Cain brought the works of his hands to please God, and it didn't please God at all, because that's not the way of salvation. That's a way of death. The book of Proverbs, two times, in chapter 14 and chapter 16, says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It's the ways of death. The Lord Jesus Christ called this way man's way. He called it the broad way that leads to destruction. And then he told his disciples, he is the only way. Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's what this is talking about, that all we like sheep have gone astray. But now I want to point out something here. The prophet here has in mind only the sheep. And why do I say that? Well, you know, the Bible, I've heard people say that the Bible is a book of unity. Well, we got to qualify that, because in actuality, when it comes to as it applies to the world, the Bible is not a book of unity. The Bible is a book of great division. And it always divides this world up into two different groups of people. There are those who are condemned in their sins, to whom God imputes sin. And there are those who are justified, to whom God imputes the righteousness of Christ. There are unbelievers, and there are believers. And we could go on and on with the different ways. The way of Abel, that refers to believers. The way of Cain refers to unbelievers. Two different groups. And there's a great vast division between those two groups. There's no unity there. You see, there's no unity between an unbeliever and a believer. Now, there's a brother. We can talk about the brotherhood of man as far as our condition here on earth. But as far as a spiritual relationship with God, there is no general brotherhood of man. Christ made this point in Matthew chapter 12 when he was teaching and preaching, and his mother Mary and his half-brothers came to talk to him. And they came into him and they said, now your mother and your brothers out here, they want to talk to you. And he made this point there. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who are my brethren? He said, them that do the will of my Father. You see, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are part of a spiritual brotherhood of which unbelievers are no part of. So we just can't go around saying, well, we're all brothers in the Lord. We're not all brothers in the Lord. If you're an unbeliever, you're not my brother or my sister. If you're a believer, a sinner saved by grace, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. But there's a great division there. Psalm 1 makes that point. There's a great division. That there's the ungodly and then there's the godly. Who are the ungodly? That's man by nature, fallen in his sin, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And the godly are sinners saved by grace, who have been born again and brought to faith in Christ. Well, one of the divisions that the Lord himself made, especially as he talked about the judgment, and you can read this in Matthew chapter 25. He talked about in that last day, the day of judgment, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, who are the sheep and who are the goats? Well, it's very simple now. The sheep are the elect of God, those whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. And we'll see that in just a moment now. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And who is the Lamb? That's Christ. And they are those whom God had given to Christ and made him their surety. And that's what this is saying here in Isaiah 53, 6, when he says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's not all without exception. Because if your iniquity has been laid on Christ, then you will be saved. This is talking about the sheep, God's sheep, Christ's sheep. And the sheep are those whom God justified, having imputed or charged or laid their sins on Christ and imputed his righteousness to them. They are those whom Christ redeemed on the cross. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Okay? And they are those who in time will be brought under the preaching of the gospel and be born again and brought to faith in Christ. They'll hear his voice. "My sheep will hear my voice," Christ said. Now the goats, they are those who live and die in unbelief. Live and die in condemnation. The Bible puts it this way, die in their sins. In other words, their sins are not paid for. Their sins are not washed away. They have no righteousness before God. They're the goats. Now they can be religious. That's why Christ talks about separating the sheep from the goats. That's why he talks about false Christians who appear outwardly to be Christians. Wolves in sheep's clothing, that kind of thing. In other words, when you separate the sheep from the goats, when you think about this in your mind, you can't just say, well, no, the goats are all the immoral people of the world as we judge immorality, and the sheep are all the religious or moral people. No, that's not how you do it. You see, it all has to do with how they stand in relation to Christ. Do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's who he's talking about here. He says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now, that's a great description of the sin and depravity of all of us by nature. You see, we've all gone astray. Everybody has gone. Everybody who fell in it. Somebody says, well, is that talking about everybody without exception? Well, it's not talking about the elect angels. It's not talking about Christ himself. It's talking about every one of us who fell when Adam fell. Now, who is that? Well, that's all of us by nature. We fell when Adam fell. The Bible says that as sin entered the world by this one man, Adam, and death passed upon all because all have sinned. So we fell in Adam, and he says, we've gone astray. We went astray in the fall, ruined by the fall, the scripture says, or we say, and the scripture teaches. And then it says, we have turned everyone to his own way. We don't know the way that God has provided by his son. We're ignorant. We're in the darkness of deception. That's why the Bible says, describes it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, when he talks about those whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glory of God shine unto them. So that's a man by nature. And we've chosen various ways to God, which are all wrong. We've all gone his own way. Now that describes all of us by nature, but the prophet has in mind the lost sheep here, God's elect. And how do you know that? Because he says next, and the Lord hath laid on him, laid on Christ, the iniquity of us all. The only ones to whom, upon whom God laid iniquity on Christ, that's the sheep. How do you know that? Because the Bible teaches that Christ died for the sheep. And that's who he's talking about. But let me say a little bit more about this. Look back at it. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now think about this. You know, a lost sheep is about as dumb an animal as you can get. He cannot find his way back home. He does not know who his master is. He's lost. And if left to himself, he'll stay lost. And he's in danger. And so the only way the lost sheep is going to be saved is for the shepherd to come and get that sheep, pick him up, put him on his shoulders, and bring him back to the fold. And so there's no hope for a lost sheep in himself. It says, we've gone astray. That means we don't know the way. We're out there searching. You know, people today in various religions, you know, there's several things that people get caught up in today that take them away from the truth of the Scripture. Even in religion, even amongst those who call themselves Christians, there's a movement today that some people call progressive Christianity. And my understanding of what most people consider as progressive Christianity is this, that there are many ways to God. But my friend, that's heresy. The Bible teaches there's only one way to God. And it's the way that only God can accomplish. Something only God can do. And it's the way of His grace. It's the way of Christ. It's the way of Christ's righteousness accomplished by His death. And so you get into the point of relativism. People today, they don't believe that there's any absolute truth. In other words, they might look and say, well, now what was true for Isaiah is not necessarily true for us today. Well, when it comes to economics and politics and mechanics and science and medicine, that may be true. But when it comes to the way of salvation, there's only been one way in the history of man, and that's the way of grace. What's true for Isaiah is true for me in that sense. People get into pluralism. Well, we're all going, like people say, well, we've got different ways to go, but we're all right. You've got denominationalism. I hear people all the time, and you may have said this yourself, but I want you to think about something. I hear people say, well, I believe there's saved people in every denomination. Now, hold on now. What if the denomination adheres to and promotes doctrines that deny God, that deny Christ? Do you know there are whole denominations that call themselves Christian who adhere to and promote doctrines, teachings that deny the God of this Bible, that deny the Christ of this book? Now, I will say this. There may be some lost sheep in every denomination, I don't know. But they're lost. And they need to be found. They need to come to Christ. They need to come out from among those who deny Christ and join with those who believe in Christ. And they will be if they're lost sheep. Christ will bring them. And so you have that kind of thing. But don't get caught up in those modern ways of thinking. They deny the Scriptures. There's only one way, and it's the way only God can make. And what way is it? Well, it's not the way of work salvation. Do you know, when it says everyone has gone his own way, you know, Isaiah, in his day, he was preaching and prophesying to a very religious group of people. Now, we know, for example, If a person's way is the way of human immorality, human irresponsibility, we know that that's not a way to God. You're not going to get to God by going out and murdering people and stealing and taking drugs and abusing things. You're not that. We know in our conscience, our natural conscience, even the fallen conscience can know the difference there. Romans chapter 2 teaches that. But the ways that man is deceived by is the ways of religion. And so you have people who are devotees in religion, who are devout in religion, who are pious in their religion, sincere and zealous, charitable, all these things, but it's all in a way that denies the way that only God can make, the way of His grace, the way of Christ. You take all the religions of the world, that they promote morality, human morality, as humans judge morality. But they're all false ways if they're not the one way that only God can make, the way of Christ. Now, what is God's way? Well, it's summarized in this phrase in Isaiah 53:6. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, what does that mean? Well, literally, it means that the Lord had made all the iniquity of all of his people to meet on Christ. Now, how did that happen? How did the Lord lay on him the iniquity of us all? Now, again, he's talking about the lost sheep. Well, first of all, God laid this iniquity on him by a legal act of imputation. God charged the sin debt of all his sheep, all the elect, to the account of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, God made him sin, made him to be sin. Christ was made the surety of all whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to him. And so Christ became legally responsible and accountable for their sin debt. And he willingly took that upon himself. And so then he became legally accountable and responsible to pay that sin debt. He had the payment. And what was the payment? Suffering unto death. That's why the scripture says, look back at verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now this is the second way that the iniquity was laid on him. First of all, by a legal act of imputation, Christ was made guilty. Not because of any sin in him or any sin that he did. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He was the perfect Lamb, spotless Lamb of God. And so when he went to the cross to die for the sins of his sheep, he was an innocent victim as far as sin within. But the sins of his people were laid to his charge so that God justly condemned him for those sins. And he willingly took that upon himself. And it says, surely he hath borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see that? That's talking about Christ dying on the cross, suffering unto death for the sins of his people as the surety and substitute of his sheep. Now, secondly, those iniquities were laid on him in that he suffered the consequences of sin imputed to him. He had to suffer. First of all, think about it this way. He had to keep the law. He was made under the law. He had to keep it perfectly, every jot and tittle, he said in Matthew 5. And then he had to suffer unto death. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because the wages of sin is death. And he agreed before the foundation of the world to pay that wage of death for the sins of his sheep, all whom the Father had given him, as they were imputed, charged to him. And he suffered unto death. The Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 52, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He suffered greatly unto death to pay the sin debt. And so the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, how can the death of Christ be the salvation of his sheep? Well, his death was the final full payment of all the sins of his sheep laid to his charge. And the payment was made in full. And the proof of that was he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead because righteousness had been established. And it's his righteousness that's imputed, charged to his people. And out of that comes life for them. And that's why Christ said in John 10 and verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he even brought in the Gentiles in this. God has a people among the Gentiles. He said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them I also must bring. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You see, he knows who his sheep, he said he knows who his sheep are. He knew for whom he died. He didn't make a blanket pardon just to hoping that someone would accept him. No. He said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of him that is his Father that gave him his people. He said, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. This is the way only God made. It's the way of suffering unto death by the sinless substitute, Christ. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of the blood. It's the way of righteousness, because he established the only righteousness whereby God could justify sinners like us. Our sins imputed to Christ, his righteousness imputed to his people. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 4:6, and quoting David, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's the way that only God can make. It's called the righteousness of God in Romans 1:16-17. That's the gospel. And that's the way only God can make. And so it's by the righteousness of Christ imputed that his sheep are justified in his sight, forgiven of their sins and declared righteous. And it's because of that righteousness imputed that God gives them life through Christ by the Holy Spirit in the new birth and brings them to know their master, to know the shepherd. And so Christ is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd who raised from the dead. He's the chief shepherd and bishop of their souls who oversees them, keeps them, and will bring them unto glory. That's the way that only God could make. Every other way is a way of death. So seek the Lord. That's what the message is here. Don't be content in your own way. Your own way is a wrong way. Seek the way that only God could make. That's the way of his grace in Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.